We're starting Saita Daf Lamed Zayin, and we were discussing the general topic that we're discussing is the brachas and the kolos and the processes of the monuments, the stones taken from the Yarden, and the fact that there were brachas and kolos. But before that, we had some digressions, many digressions in this parak, and the last one that we were in the middle of, and we kind of stopped in the middle of, we were discussing the names, right? And through that, we were discussing, right, how many letters there were on each one of the names, because according to one mandamar, which we ended up slugging up, the names on the Cheshen ended up being like the names of the way it's split based on the Cheshen was who got to stand on which mountain. We'll see today that maybe they're not really standing on the mountain. We'll get there. But in the meantime, we discussed that by Yosef, we attempted to say maybe one of the letters, because we said if you count, according to one of them on the Amram, there's supposed to be 50 letters, 25 on each of the stones of the Ephod, and really there's only 24 according to... So we answered, the Gemara finally answered that it's Binyamin and it's Shalem, that's the way he was called at birth, so that makes sense in the Manamar. But in the meantime, we had floated the possibility that maybe it's the Edus P'Yosef Samoy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added a Hey to Yosef's name, to be Mashem the Yod and Hey. And we discussed yesterday, right, because of the schar that he held off Eishes Potifar, okay, and we discussed that Yosef's schar. Now, in that memra, we discussed that Yehuda, Yosef did, he was Mekadesh Shemayim the Seser, and therefore he got the mini name of Hashem, the Yod and the Hey. Okay, we discussed yesterday, it's the shame of Arias, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being made, that somebody wasn't Eber on Arias. We saw that from the Sukkim, from the Medrash, that Chazal, Rashi brought, and Chumash brought down. But then we discussed Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Befar Hesia, and therefore he had the whole name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. Yehuda is essentially Yudke Vavke plus a Dalet. So he had the whole name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Befar Hesia. And Marsha back on Daf Yud, when we had this Gemara before, discusses, well, his name was given at birth. Okay, it was Al Shem Ha'asid. And the problem is, based, if you remember, we had it back on Daf Yud. We discussed that was the whole Ma'is of Yehuda and Tamar, where we said that he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Befar Hesia. We gave one reason, which was that he stood up and said, Sadka Mimeni, when he was confronted with Tamar. Here the Gemara is going to give another reason. So now we're going to discuss, when the Marsha there in Daf Yud actually says both of these, it was this Bishar of both of these things that we're going to see right now, that's why he got that he had the entire name of Hashem in his name. So we are up to the second to last line on Lamed Vav Amit Beis, Yehuda Maihi. So what's the story with Yehuda, meaning what was the schar, aside from whatever happened on Daf Yud with Maisa Tamar, says the Marsha, what was the schar, where was he Mekadesh Yishmayim Befar Hesia, that he was, at least in part, Zeicha to have the entire Shem Hashem within his name. Hi, Remeir.
I'm sorry,
what's
called Befar Hesia again?
Public. Public. The Tanya. Hi, Remeir. Aimer. Kisha Amdu Yisrael Al Hayam. When Klal Yisrael was standing on the Yam, Hayu Shvatim Minatzchim Zeh. So they were fighting with each other. Now, a little bit of a different, we're going to see there's two versions of the story of what happened at the Yam, right? So they have Paros coming, the Midrashim bring down that there were wild animals cornering them in. So they're looking at it, they're asking for tefillos, what are we supposed to do here? We have wild animals, we can't move to the left, we can't move to the right. It was Baal, and we have Mitzrayim coming from the back, and then we have the Yam in front of us. So what are we supposed to do? So they were fighting Zel Zeh. Zel Imer, one Shevet said, Ani Yerid Chil Yam, I'm going to jump in first. Zel Imer, Ani Yerid Chil Yam, I'm going to jump in first. So they were fighting who was going to jump in first. Okay, then we'll see. That's one version of the story. Kafat Shiftei Shel Binyamin. So Binyamin jumped in. V'yared Liyam Tchila, he ran into the Yam. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Shem Binyamin, Tzair Roidem. That there, Binyamin, the young one, was Roidem. Okay, Roidem is a lashon of like ruling. Al Tikri Roidem, so we're going to play the words, and we're going to say it means Raid Yam. Binyamin there went down into the Yam. V'hayu Sari Yehuda Roigmin Isam. And the Sari Yehuda were stoning Binyamin. Okay, they were jealous, meaning they realized they felt bad that they lost out on their opportunity. Shenemar Sari Yehuda Grog Masam. Lefichach. Therefore, Zacha Binyamin Atzadik Benasa Ushpizchan Legvura, that he ended up being the host for the Shechina. Shenemar, where do we see this? That the Kodesh HaKadoshim and a strip on the south corner of the Mizbeach was where? Was in Shevet Binyamin. Shenemar, Bank Seifav Shachin, that the Shechina is Bank Seifav. Okay, so Rameir is saying that Yehuda, now there are some Mefarshim here, you could either say that in this Rameir's version, Yehuda doesn't get any schar because Binyamin was the ones that jumped in. Or there are some afarshim that bring down that because Yehuda felt so bad, they were so mitzayer the fact that Binyamin got it first. Right there, they were fighting who's gonna ani yaretchila. So that either one could have gone, and Binyamin went, but Yehuda felt bad that they weren't the first ones to go, and therefore, since they felt bad, they felt compelled to throw stones, and that alone was considered, you know, that they were mekadeshim shemayim, and there was a dual reward. Binyamin got the reward of getting the shechina in their chelak. Yehuda, in part, got the reward of having a name. But there are some that learned that no, this Rameir's version there was no schar for Yehuda, and then it would be in Rav Yehuda's version, which we're going to mention right now. Amar Rav Yehuda lekachaya maisa. No, the story was. At the Yam revisionist history. It wasn't that they were both fighting who should go in first. They were both fighting Elazel Emir Enani Yerit Chila. They each were saying, I'm not going in. I'm jumping you crazy. I'm going to jump into the ocean. Enani Yerit Chila Yam Zerma Enani Yerit Chila Yam. Kafetz Nachshem Ben Aminodav. So what happened? Nachshem Ben Aminodav, who was from Shevet Yehuda B'Yarad Yam Tchila Shenemar Sevavuni B'Kachash. I was surrounded with Lot B'Kachash Ephraim U'Vemirman Beis Yisrael. The Yehuda Oid raid, im kel. Okay, and that's the part that we're learning. Oid raid, again, that's the lashon of raid going down, like we said before, im kel. So he went down with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way we're playing the words in this pasuk that we're talking, referring to Yehuda. Ba'alav mefarish be'kabbalah, and we explained the svarim, okay, ksuvim in Tehillim, it says, Hoshieni alekim, kibo maima nefesh. That it cried out, save me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibah mayim ha-nefesh, because the mayim is coming until the nefesh. Tavati ba biyavan mitzula, I am sunk. Tavati, that means like I sunk, meaning that this is referring to Yehuda jumping in to the Yamsuf, biyavan mitzula ve'ein ma'amad, and no one's going to help me. Now, kel tish tefeni shivoylas mayim. Okay, I'm going to be washed away by the current of water. So he's saying, please, al tish tefeni shivoylas mayim. Don't allow the current of water to wash me away. Don't allow it to swallow me, mitzula, into the depths. Okay, the point is that there was some sort of tefillah, meaning, but representing that Yehuda was the one that had jumped in, right? Going off of the pasuk in Hoshea, which said, Yehuda eid raid. Imkel. Now, Ba'isa Shah, Yemoshe Marech Betfilos, and Moshe was busy davening. Amal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yedidai, Tovim B'yom, that my Bnei Yisrael are drowning at sea. Ba'at Marech Betfilos, you're davening. Lefanai, Amal Lefanai, Rebunner Shalai, Lamabi Adilasis. What am I supposed to do? Amal Loi, Davar Al Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso, tell all of Klai Yisrael. So, because Nachshon jumped in, that Kadosh Baruch Hu felt compelled to tell Moshe to stop davening and go do something about it, and that is what caused the Yam to split. Okay, Vatar Hemes Matcha, Unteas Yodcha, lift up your staff, your stick, Unteas Yodcha, and stretch over your hand over the Yamsuf, and that's what caused the Yamsuf to split. And therefore, Lefichach Zacha Yehuda Lasus Memshal of Yisrael. Now, okay, so therefore, again, so we see that it was in part of the things that does in part these. The schus that Yehuda had the full shame of Hashem was because of this baisa, but also in part because of the maisa and tamar we have in Daf Yod, and also b'schar that he jumped in first, he got memshala. Levichach zachar Yehuda lasus memshala b'Yisrael. Shenemar ha'isa Yehuda lekadshei Yisrael memshalaisav. Okay, that Yehuda was essentially the ruler. They got the kingship of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar ha'isa Yehuda lekadshei Yisrael memshalaisav. Matam. Now what we're saying is matam ha'isa Yehuda lekadshei the Yisrael memshalaisav. Why did Yehuda? Why is Yehuda considered kadshei Hashem and he was able to rule over Yisrael memshalaisav mishum hayam rabba yanas? Okay, because of the ma'isa that happened by the yam that is putting together the kapitel of Tehillim Kuf Yudal that we say in Hallel. Okay, so that is completing the story based on the last sugya. Let's go back now to back from our digressions. Okay, that is the Schar Yehuda got. We're going back to talking about the Mishnah that we had brought on Daf Lamed Beis. We were discussing Ketzad. How did we get into it? Eilan Amar and B'chol Lashon, Parshish Saita. Like I said, we were pretty much done with Saita at that point. And now we're discussing which Parshios, or which things have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And one of them were the Brachos and the Klaus. And we said, Brachos will call us Ketzad. Kivin Sha'avri Yusolos Hayardin, Avoyer HaGrizim V'Ha'Evel, Shebeshemrin. Okay, so we said they got their HaGrizim V'Ha'Evel. So now, it sounds like, if you read the Pasuk, and there are two recorded instances of what's happening with the brachos and kolos and har grizim and har evil. One is in the Chumash, where Moshe commands them what to do. Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael sa'amli marsh v'esam 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 v to the land Hashem lekecha noisin lach v'akei moisel lecha avanim gedolos. You should set up avanim v'sad toys amasid, which we discussed. V'chasavta aleim is called the beratara azois. V'avrecha leman asher tavoi v'ha'yavar v'chasadim tokimos avanim ha'ela. These same stones asher nechem mitzava eschem. Hayon Bahar Evol, you should put up these stones where you wrote the Torah on Bahar Evol, Vesadatai Sambasid, cover them with plaster. We discussed that you write the Torah, there was a Machlekes Tanaim. Uvanisa Sham Mizbeach, they build a Mizbeach, we discussed this as well. Avonim Shlemas Tibnes, Mizbeach was Avachta Shlomim, Velchalta Sham, bring Karbonim, so Samachlo, Pin Hashem, because Savta Avonim is called the Beratara as Bahariti. Then what happened? It says, Vayitzav Moshe Asam, Yamahulimar, Ela Yamdu, these are the ones in the future that should stand Levarech Asam al Har Grizim. The bracha will be on Har Grizim. So it sounds like if you read the pasuk, Ela Yamdu, Levarech Asam al Har Grizim. They're going to be standing on Har Grizim. Shimon Levi Yehuda, Yisachar Yosef Binyam, we discussed yesterday the division of the Shvatim. Ve'ela Yamdu Alakala, they should stand, sounds like on Har-Evol, Bahar-Evol. Ruven Gad Ba'asher, Zvul and Dam and Aftali. Ba'anu Alvin Ba'amru, Kalish Yisrael Kalram. And we said that the way, when we kind of set it up in our Mishnah was, and based on the way the Sukkim, if we had to put a visual on our head, so there's the two mountains. You have the Arai with the Kehanim and the Levim surrounding it in the valley. On one side you have Har Grizim, you have six Shvatim on the top of the mountain. You have one side, you have Har Evol, and you have six Shvatim on top of the mountain. And the Levim, right, turn their faces to one. There's a bracha, there's a kol. Okay, now that's the visual that the Torah would lead you to believe. Now, then what happens? What do they say? There's 11 orers, curses, right? We'll have to get to. There's no brachas; they're all curses. And then at the end of we say, There's a one general one. It says, and everybody says, Amen. That's a general one saying, or curse anybody who doesn't keep the whole Torah. So that is one version. That's the version in the commandment where Moshe commanded them what to do. The thing is that if you look in Yeshua, and this is what we're going to kind of be addressing now, the pasuk in Yeshua, the Navi says, Az Yivna Yeshua Mizbeach LaHashem Elokei Yisrael Bahar Evol. Okay, so this is the fulfillment later on, after they cross the Yarden. And it says, Kasher tziva Moshe Eved Hashem, es b'nei soka kasuba sefer teres Moshe, mizbach avanim shleimais, asher leis, what type of stones you should use. And then he says, v'yichtav shama avanim, es mishnasa teres Moshe, that represents that you write the Torah on it, asher kasav v'nei b'Yisrael, v'chol Yisrael, zekena v'shaitra, v'shaiftav, oimdi mizeh u'mizeh. So what does it say? V'chol Yisrael, u'zekena, all of Klal Yisrael and the Ziknei Klal Yisrael, Vishaitrim, Vishaiftav, Oimdim Mizeh Umizeh, La'orain Neged Akanim Halavim, Noisei Rambis Hashem, Kager Kazra Chetziav. So it sounds like they were all of Yisrael, along with the Zikanim and the Shaitrim and the Kayhanim and the Levim, were all in the valley surrounding the Arain. And then what happened? That they turned their faces to, they never went up on the mountain. They turned their faces to Har Evol, six Shvatim, turned their faces. And then six Shvatim, so whenever there was a bracha, it was Har Grizim. And then when there was a kola, they turned the other six Shvatim, turned their faces to Har Evol. And it sounds like they never went up on top of the mountain. So, and that's what we're going to be addressing now. Okay? So Tanya, and we have to also address there was only 11 curses, not brachas, and we'll get there. That's pretty much what we're going to spend the rest of the daf is trying to understand what was going on at this gathering over here at Har Grizim and Har Evol, what was commanded. But first, we have to address, were they on the mountain or not? That's the big question, because the Pasuk in Devarim seems to be mashma that they were definitely on the mountain, if you're reading the Pasuk. However, in Yeshua, it seems to be saying that they were all standing together, circled around the Aron. So Tanya, Belozer, and Yaakov, Emer, Yefshar, Lemer, Lamata. So you can't say that they were Lamata, like it says in Yeshua. It sounds like they were down in the valley, where the Aron was. Shekvar, Nemer, Lamala. Yefshar, Lemer, Lamala. Shekvar, Nemer, Lamata. Well, you can't say, so which one is it? It says, you can't say that they were up on the mountain because in Yeshua it's mashma that they were down in the valley. So which one is it? HaKetzad, Ziknei Kohuna veLeviya Lamata. So here's our way of saying it, that the Ziknei Kohuna and the Leviim were down with the Aron, Bashar Lamala. And everybody else was up as the Pasuk in Kisava seems to infer. Rabbi Yashia Aimer, Kol HaRoya L'Shares Lamata. Then it was, again, some similar sort of answer, which is Levi was split. Some were down and some were up. First we said it was the Zakanim were down, right? They were the infirm, couldn't walk up the mountain, so they stayed down. That was one pshat. The other pshat is that no, it was harayi l'shares lamato, that this was part of a service, and therefore the ones who, so it would be the younger ones, the harayi l'shares would have been down with the aron v'ashar lamato. Rebbe Omer, he says no, elu ve'elu lamato. Really, all of kohanim, levim, ka yisrael, everybody. Rashi says here specifically, elu ve'elu yisrael ve'levim lamato hayu k'dechsid b'sefer Yeshua. Like we read in Yeshua, that's mashma that everybody. I, if so, hein, right, elu ve'elu lamato hein haimdim, hafchu p'neim klapei har grizim, upaschu b'bracha. So all they did was turn their faces. They never went up on the mountain. Aye, if so, what does it say? The Ela Yamdu Al Ha Al Ha Evil. What does it mean? Ela Yamdu Lavarech Esam Al Har Grizim. Right? How? What it says? Al in Kisavai. So my Al means Besamach next to Kedetana. Then where do we see this? Kedetanya Vinasata Al Hama Arachais Levoina Zaka. Interestingly, this week's parsha, well, at the very end of the parsha, okay, that you will put the, we're talking about the lechem aponim, so you have the bazichin is put on top of the loaves. It sounds like you put it on top of the loaves. Okay, what does Rabbi say? Rabbi Yomer al basamach. Okay, that you put it next to. Maybe you think, no, you put the bazichin on top of the loaves. No, Rebbe holds you put it next to. Why? Where do I have a raya that al doesn't necessarily mean on top, but rather it means next to? V'sakoisa al ha'aroin, that we're talking about the pareches. And what does it say? Put the pareches on the aron. Do you put the pareches on the aron? No, the pareches goes in front, right in front of the aron, right next to the aron. And therefore we see that al kamim b'samach, havi yomer al b'samach. Okay, so now, where were they standing? Right. Sorry for obliterating the picture that you might have had in your mind. Machlekes Tanoim. Okay. Could be Klai Shol's down in the valley. Could be half of them were up on one of the mountains. That's what we learn from here. Now, what's going on over here? So there's 11 arurs. Okay. Specifics. Right. Things like arur ha'ish asher yasef tassol maseicha toyavas Hashem. Sounds like a vayda zara. Or a makla b'vimai makala. Or a masig vorei eyu. Or a mashkei verba dara. Lifnei ver l'sitei mekshal. Or a matem mishpat ger yasem alman avar makam amein. Or a sheichim mishes aviv. Or a sheichim behema. Or a sheichim machoisai. Or a sheichim chaisantai. Or a makereu basaser. Or a lokeach sheichet. So 11 individual things that we're picking, seems like we're picking out. Specific. Some of them have to do with harayis. On the surface, some of them seem to do with avodah zara. Lifnei iver. Okay, the Gemara we'll get to at the end today is actually going to say it all has to do with harayis. Rashi can't explain one, but and then we have this general thing of ara asher lo yakim es divrei atara azayis lasusam. That's the klal. Okay, now really, and what I want to just address here, it's not readily apparent from the Gemara. It's a little bit of a difficult Gemara to read, just to understand exactly how we're being machalik, but. According to one, and then that's why I'm going to preface this, because we'll see it later, but according to one Manda Amar, or where the Gemara is going to start, is that what was going on at Har Grizim and Har Eval wasn't just these 11 Aruras. That really, this was a time, a moment in Jewish history, where there was a bris. We were accepting, it was a covenant, we were accepting the Torah. And we'll see, we're accepting more than that. We're accepting every mitzvah in the Torah. And really, aside from these 11 curses, this is representing, which are brachas also, okay? So it's representing a bris, the klal and bepra. That's the klal at the end, meaning that there's a bris, but what exactly a bris is, but we entered into a bris, a covenant, not just in regards to these arurus and brachas, but for every one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, tarayag mitzvahs of the Torah. And it's a four-way, and we'll see really a 16-way bris, 16 brisos on each mitzvah. How does that represent itself? So we'll see in the Gemara. But first we start with a brarach, and we start with an arur. Because even though it says arur, the pasuk clearly said eliyamdu levarech, and then we just say the arus, which means that there has to be a barach for each arur. And then from the layout here, we see that there's pratim. We picked 11 individual arur, but there's also a klal at the end, asher lo yakim. So we have a klal and a prat for each barach and each arur. So that gives us four. That's four brisos. Now, like I said, it's not limited to these arur, but rather this is a moment in Jewish history where we, as Klal Yisrael, were accepting the entering into the bris of the Torah. And we'll see, it's one of three moments that we did it. So there's going to be 16 brisos, four, and we'll see the other four, but we got the first four, which is Klal Pra, the Asher Lo Yakim is called the Torah Azos, and a Baruch and an Arur for each one. Okay, so let's start. Tanu Rabbanan. Baruch b'chlal, baruch b'prat. Like we explained, there's a baruch in the klal, keeping the entire Torah. And then in each individual, here we're talking about brachas or aruras klalas, but really for each mitzvah. Arar b'chal v'arar b'prat. Lilmaid ulalamed. So there's four for each component or each chiyuv of how we have to learn and keep the Torah. That it's lilmaid, that we have to learn. Lilamed, to teach. Lamed is p'neichem. So lishmar, to keep. Sounds like velasis, and to do. So the Marshat speaks out, what is the lishmar? Because that's the one that really doesn't, it doesn't really seem to fit over here, right? It's hard, right? If lilmaid is to learn, lilamed is to teach, that I get. Lasis is to do. So then what's lishmar? Guard? So he says, yeah, you know what it is? It's guard. It's not learning. Learning is something, you learn something from a Rebbe, you heard it, and then maybe you forgot it. Okay, so first he entertains, maybe you could say, normally what we think is lishmar, hishamar lacha, pen, al, those are all lashon of leisase, and lasais is a lashon of a mitzvah sasei, but then the Marsha says that can't be, because we're saying that this will apply not just for the klalos, but for every single mitzvah in the Torah. So if it's already a leisase, so then there's an ase component, a bracha component of it, and then a klalo component. Meaning bracha is who does it, who keeps this leisase, and so it can be leisase and ase. So rather, he says, what is it? Ela, he says, the yesh lefarish, lishmar gamba, si of alasis gamba leisase, velishmar hainu kedamirin parakam de kedushin, asher tishmarun zu mishna, lasois zemaisa. Upirish Rashi Zu Mishnah Shmevi Lide Maisa. That there's a different, there's learning, like I learned from a Rebbe, and then there's learning that means I chazer it, that I know it really well, that when it comes down to actually doing it, I know what the din is. Okay? Ve'ein zebachal lilmoid to kamar hacha, the yesh loimin rabbi, because sometimes what's the lilmoid? You learned it. Sometimes you shkayach, you learned from your rabbi, umishkacha, and you forget it. Avol shmiras ha mishnah sheyechhoizer al mishnasai, shalit tishtakach mi pib, vidabrze maybe lide maisa. That this lishmar that we're talking about here is, again, it's lilmoid to learn, lilame to be able to teach to your children, lishmar to chazer, to make sure you know it, so that what? Velasos, so that you could do it. So those are the four components. So now there's, for each one of these aspects of Torah, lilmoid, lilame, lishmar, velasos, we have a baruch and an ar and a klal and a prat. That's how you get to 16, right? So hare arba, you have arba, meaning, so that's going to be four. So we have four and four, meaning arba va'arba. You have four and four. Hare shmaina. Now, what we're saying is that we're first attacking the bracha. Many different ways to figure this out. The bottom line is it's four times four. Okay, so you get to 16. So it's four and four, which could be, you could say it's four of bracha for each one. Klal prat. Okay, so arba v'arba hare shmaina. Shmaina v'shmaina hare sheshesui. So you have 16. Okay, bottom line is four. Baruch ar klal prat for each one. Lilmaid lilamed lishmar velasos. So it's four times four, four components times four. So you have 16 brisos that were entered in, like we said, not just for these things listed in the Parsha Kisavai, but ostensibly for every single mitzvah. Now, v'chein b'Sinai, this happened again at Sinai. So that's 16 over here at Har Gizim and Har Ebal. It also, same thing happened at Sinai and Arvos Mayav. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eila divrei habris, asher karas Hashem es Moshe, uchsev es shmartim es divrei habris hazois. So what do we have? 16 and 16 and 16 is how many? 48. Nimtza memches brisos, I'll call mitzvah, for every single mitzvah. So again, what's going on here is not just the kolos, but it's every mitzvah. There's three moments in Jewish history which we entered into a bris, a 16-way bris for each mitzvah, times three, that's 48 total brisim. For each mitzvah. So we have to, everything's times 613. Okay, Rav Shimon might see Har Gizim. Rav Shimon says that no. What happened at Har Gizim was only the arrors. This wasn't a bris on Torah. And he says that there was another time, the Oh, Midbar, that there were three times in the Midbar where Kali saw into the Brisa. So everybody's agreeing there were 48 Brisa. It's just a question of, and we're bringing this to you here, interestingly, according to one Tana, when we said this Aror, what's going on here is not just limited to the Aror, but rather a six. It's one of these three moments in Jewish history where we have a 16-way Bris for each mitzvah. We looked at the Hani Tanai, the Machloikis, whether or not the mitzvahs, the brisos, were entered in at Har Gizim and Har Ebal. It's like the following machlokes tanoim: Detanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, klolos number b'sinai upratos ba'el mayed. Rabbi Shmuel says that you had klolos; they were split. Okay, so meaning you had klolos number b'sinai upratos ba'el mayed, and so you had again one at Har Gizim and one set. We had three sets of brisos according to everybody. The question is, where did these take place? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's four locations. So he's going to say that we split one into two. There was klolos in one location, and and Pratos in another location. Okay, and therefore, meaning you have Har Grizim, you have Arvois Mayav, and then a split of Sinai and Oil Mayed, Kolos were set at Sinai and Pratos at Oil Mayed, and that's how you have your three brises. According to the other man, Rabbi Kiva, Omer Kolos Pratos Demer B'Sinai, that you have both the Kolos Pratos by Sinai, V'Nishnu Ba'Oil Mayed, V'Nishtalshu Ba'Arvois Mayav. Okay, that it happened Sinai, Oil Mayed, and Arvois Mayav. V'Ein Lecha, okay, V'Ein Lecha. So again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Har Grizim Har Evil, Arvois Mayav, and why does it say Sinai and Oil Mayed? It's a split. According to Rabbi Akiva, then no, it never happened at Har Grizim Har Evil. That would be like the Tana that we said here, Reb Shimon, who says that they never said every mitzvah, the bris and mitzvah. It was only the Aruros that happened at Har Grizim and Har Evil. Okay, that is the machlekes. So the machlekes that we have between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon is like the machlekes Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva.
What's the practical difference?
What is a bris? What is 16 brises? Yeah. I don't think this is a practical.
So every mitzvah you have is actually 16 brises?
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see. You're not even done. Yeah. So that 16 for each... 16 brises.
Yeah.
I mean, 16 brises. There were 16 covenants. Whatever we understand a covenant or a bris is, then you could maybe understand what the chaymer of having 16 are. But, so whatever a bris sounds like something that's like a commitment. So it would be 16, you're 16 times committed on each... Okay, but we're not even done with the math yet. Just wait. Vein lecha kol dvar mitzvah mitzvah.
Before you can't be commanded on something you're already commanded on.
It's if you. I think the way I envision it in my head, a bris is like a string. We're tied together. We're connect. It's a connection point. So we have a connection point with the Torah that it's not just a connection point, one connection point, but each one we have 48 connection points to the Torah, meaning brisas to each mitzvah. That's the way I would, if I had to envision it, that's the way I would probably state it. Ve'en lecha kol devar mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuva b'Torah, that there's no mitzvah that's written in the Torah, shalei nechrasu ala arba mishpanda brises. In other words, according to whichever shita you hold, there were 48 brises. Whether the 16, there were 16 at Har Grizim and Har Evil, and then, like we said, Kolos and Pratos were split at Sinai and Oil Mayed, or whether there were just at Sinai, Oil Mayed, and Arvois Mayav. Either way, we had three times where we engaged or entered into 16 brises for each mitzvah. Now, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Ishkfar Akai, so here's where the math, we're going to get the crazy math. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Ishkfar Akai, Amar Mishim Rav Shimon, Ein lecha mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksu b'tarish lo nechus ola arba u'shmane brises. But it's not just 48 times. We're clear. There's at least 48. Any sheet that you hold, there's 48 brises. Shel sheish meyas elef u'shleishas halafim v'chamesh meyas v'chamishim. 603-550. What's 603-550? That is the minion of B'nai Yisrael. So it's not just, each person didn't just have 48 brises. They had 48 brises times 603,550. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says one step further. L'divrei Rav Shimon ben Yehuda ishkmar akai she'amar Mishim Rav Shimon ein l'chol kol mitzvah mitzvah shebetayra shelo nechrasu aleha arba u'shmane brises. Yes, there's 48 brises in principle for each mitzvah. Shel sheish meyas elef u'shoshes halafim v'chamesh meyas. Then one for each person in Klal Yisrael. V'chamishim nimtzal l'kol echad shel sheish meyas elef u'shoshes halafim v'chamesh meyas v'chamishim nimtzal l'kol echad v'echad miYisrael sheish meyas elef u'shoshes halafim v'chamesh meyas v'chamishim. So it sounds like, what's the difference between the two? My Beinayu, what are you talking about? Amara Mesharshia Arva, Va'arva, Da'arva, Ik Beinayu. So we have two additional shitas. So the first two shitas we had said that how many brises were there? 48 for each mitzvah. Sounds pretty simple. And then we bring in two versions of Rav Shimon. We have two versions, either the version of Rav Shimon who says that it has 603,550, or Rebbe's version of Rav Shimon Ben Yehuda Ishkfar Akko, who says it's 48 times 603,550 times 603,550. Okay, meaning what? This is the sugya of Arvos. That when we accepted the bris, we accepted to do the mitzvah, not just that we're going to keep the mitzvah. So we're going to keep the mitzvah. We're going to make sure that each one of Klal Yisrael has to keep the mitzvah as well. So the bris is, it's not limited to my bris of me keeping it, but it's me. And then another bris for each person in Klal Yisrael for his 48 brisim. Because of Klal Yisrael Abraham Zelazeth. Now, that was one sheet. The Rebbe said it's 603,550 times 603,550. Which means that there's a concept of that I have an arvus on his arvus as well. So meaning each one has a bris, 48 brisim. Then because each person in Klal Yisrael, there's a Ravim Zelazes, so I not only have my 48 brisim, but I have your and your and your, each one. Now, the thing is that you have arvus on me, so I need to accept a double arvus according to that shita on you as well. So if you looked at connection points or commitment points, if you wanted to call a bris, a commitment point to the Torah, that it's not limited to 48 because of the concept of kol arvin zelazah. Which gives us, just if you want some math, for each mitzvah, instead, the first two tanaim we had were 48. So, right? So I plug this into Excel, and that means if you hold, it's one level of arvus, meaning it's just a bris for me, and then for each one in Kali Shol, because I'm a Raven Zelazah, so that would be 28,970,400 brises, okay, for each mitzvah. But if you say, and I have to not just accept arvus for each one in Kali Shol, but the arvus for the arvus, then you end up with 17,485,084,920. So if you didn't know what a bris was at 1 or 4 or 16, for each mitzvah, I'm not sure what it is for 27 trillion either, but the point is, something you can count that many times is really important. So that's what I'm taking away. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmeni miturgamine. Oh, so okay, so this is ground zero for the concept of arvus, right? So I just want to discuss arvus for a moment here, and there's going to be a bunch of problems that we have to deal with very quickly, albeit very quickly. So the first one, what is the din of arvus? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses that a person is allowed to make a bracha for somebody else. Okay, and Rashi explains that even if I was ready yetsa my chayv, I can make a bracha for you. Why? Because you have a chayv. The Ran explains that we view it that even though I've already made the bracha, since you have a chayv, so therefore I still have a mitzvah. It's like I didn't do it because kol yisrael arvin zelazah. So we see that that's the idea of how arvus manifests itself. Even though I might have done my chayv, but since you have a chayv, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't do my chiyuv. So I can make a bracha for you because since you didn't make a bracha and kol yisrael arvin zelazah, I can make the bracha. Now, the problem with the sugya is if you look at what was the number we counted, the idea of arvus limited to what? 603,550, which would be just the men. In fact, just the men over the age of 20. So that means there's only arvus with, or it sounds pretty, can't say this today, right? Only white males, 603 and 550, age of 20 and above, 20 to 10, if you're too old or too young, you don't get an arvus. There's only arvus, so what's going on over here? So Tosfos in Kedushin actually brings a raya. So Rashi there says that women are not bechal arvus. And they're not bechal arvus, okay? Meaning if they were yatsa, that women are b'chal arvus. The Tosfos asks from here, we see women are not b'chal arvus. We see from our sugya over here, because we're only counting men. So the Achronim discuss, and when we say that the Rush brings down that there's no arvus for women, that you can't be mitzvah, he brings down, and this is discussed in the Rishonim, and in the Achronim, and you have to come up with some sort of variation answer, because it's not limited to, the problem isn't limited to just women, right? If you look at it, you have gerim. Sorry, I quoted the wrong. The Rush brings down that the women are not b'chal arvus, but Tosfos and Kedushin discusses the idea of gerim, because gerim aren't here. 603,550 didn't include gerim, so there would be no arvus for gerim as well. And then what about levim, right? The 603 doesn't count levim because they have their own count. Misbar, they get counted from a chaydesh. And what about katanim? It's only from 20. So fine, I understand you want to tell me like a katan is very, very young. There's no arvus on because there's no responsibility. He doesn't have a chiyuv mitzvahs, but at least age 13, there is a chiyuv mitzvahs. So you have to come up with some variation that this 603,550, that there is arvus, at least in part, but we're only counting the ones where there's like a two-way arvus 100%. So there could be a lot more than the 17 trillion brises, right? Because, for instance, women would have arvus on the mitzvahs that there's a chiyuv for. Then there would be arvus. But since it doesn't include every single one, so it's not in the sugya here. We're just discussing the ones. Gerim, the Mefarshim bring down, that Gerim, there's one way of arvus. Meaning we have arvus for them, they don't have arvus for us. That's one way of explaining it. Again, it's Machlokes Rishonim, whether there is arvus for Gerim at all. Again, since it's not a reciprocated arvus, so we're talking about fully reciprocated arvus, same thing you can answer for Levium, a similar variation, which is since Levium we don't have a proper count for, so we're only counting where we can verify the number. Why don't we have a proper count? Because Levium accounted from day 30, and there's no way to assume, you can't say that there would be arvus when a baby's 30 days old. It has to be at least a gadol to be arvus. Okay, so for all those reasons, there's some sort of technicality when any of those four, like I said, Levium, Ketanim, Gerim, Nashim, only those four categories, but this is a sugya of arvus, you have to answer it here. Okay? Brisim arvus. Darvash Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmeni miturgamani derav Shimon ben Lakish. Kol ha-parsha kula lo nemra ela v'nai v'nai efes. Okay, so now if you read, like we read the aura over here, we had 11 individual things, and some of them were definitely about Znus, Arayas, But some were things like Arish Asher Yaseh Pesul Maseicha Tavas Hashem. That sounds like Avodah Zarah. Or a Makle Eva of the Imai. Okay, he scorns his father. Or a Masig Gvur. It sounds like some sort of violation of Kavedes Avicha. Or a Masil Gvur Reu. It sounds like stealing. Or a Mashke Verberdech. That sounds like the Fnei Evil Asitei Michsha. Michsha. Or a Matem Mishba Ger Yasim Va'amana. Right, so again, these don't seem to be arayos, but yet we're saying here that kol parsha kula, all these 11 aruras are nemra le nemra ela b'nayef v'nayefes. Why? Because aru isha she yaseh. Let's take the first one. You know why it has to be? Because let's say aru isha she yaseh pesol maseicha, that he's just going to get an aru bar sagale. What do we do to somebody who worships Avodah Zarah? It loses chelak alam haba. What do you mean? It's just an aru. So LMI, we can't be talking about, the Aror can't be talking about the person who worships Avodah Zarah, but rather, Elazeh HaBa'al Erva. What are we talking about? That somebody was Ba'al Arayis, and that's where what we're saying is all these things, the impetus is Ba'al Arayis, and then things went south from there. So he's Ba'al Arayis, and therefore Ba'alid Ben, so he had a child who was a Mamzer, Ba'alach Lebeinu Evdei Kechavim, okay, because he wasn't welcome in Klal Yisrael, right, he was labeled as a Mamzer, and therefore, what did he do? He went off of there. Okay, so this is the error that we're saying that it caused it. And like I said, Rashi goes through each one. If you go through the long Rashi, semi-long Rashi over here, we don't really have the time to go through each one. There's one of them that he can't give an answer for. That was Or Matem Mishpat Ger Yasam Ba'amana, but every other way, Mashki Iver Baderach, for instance, he'll say that it's Kulam Ba'eshes Ish. Mashki Iver is Mefate Eshes Ish, that it sounds like Lefnei Iver, Mashki Iver Baderach, that you're causing somebody to stumble along the way, that it's Eshes Ish, She Yisuma Badavar, Ve'ena Yedeas Ancha Kamo, she doesn't know. So again, it's Or to a man who entices an Eshes Ish. Again, he goes through each one of these 11 Arurim and ties them how it could really be Eshes. But the point is, we see from the first one that it can't be, the Ur can't be really talking about a person who worships Avodah Zarah, because that wouldn't make any sense. The punishment is much stiffer. So, why does the Torah tell us that the bracha should be on Har Grizim and the kol on Har Eval? Im lelamid shetehe bracha al Har Grizim and kol on Har Eval, Harei Kmar Nemar already said, Eila yamdu lebarech esam al Har Grizim. So why did the pasuk have to say it twice? So the Gemara says, "Ela lahakdim," right? Venasata bracha is much earlier. That's in Devarim Yud Aleph, but it's referring to where the commandment was given in Kisavai. So lahakdim bracha lakol. The point is, why do we repeat it? Because we say venasatas habaracha al hagrizim. Because even though it says that it's aror, it sounds like klalos, but really there were brachas. The sugya all ties together. Now that the brachas have to be before the klalos. So we see there's brachas, it's clear. But also, not just that, the brachas have to come before the klalos. So maybe if there's 11, so maybe I'll do all the brachas, okay, and then all the klalos. So Talmud Lomer, bracha u'klala. Bracha achas kedemes u'klala. Then only it's bracha kala, bracha kala, bracha kala. They ain't called brachas kedemes u'klala. So you don't have all the brachas for the klalos. U'lahakish bracha u'klala. And to be makish, the bracha, the kol, lomer lach maklala, the levim, just like the kola, the levim had to say it, v'anu alevim v'amru, like we said, kol ram, had to be in Lashon HaKadosh, v'anu, so to af bracha v'levim, maklala v'kol ram, just like the kola had to be v'kol ram, af bracha v'kol ram, all, so we're tying, we're makish, all the aspects, so maklala v'lashon HaKadosh, just like the kola had to be v'lashon HaKadosh, af bracha v'lashon HaKadosh, maklala v'kol prat, that the kola had to be said, both as a kol and a prat, meaning there was an individual din. Like we said, according to one Tana, it wasn't limited to the klalos. It wasn't to the klalos, to these 11, but rather it was all, each one of the mitzvahs. But just like it had to, there had to be a bracha and a klala on a prat on the individual mitzvah. So too, there was one on the klal as well. Klal prat, af bracha b'klal prat. Ma klal elu ve'elu einin ve'imrim amen. That the shvatim had to say amen. Af bracha elu ve'elu einin ve'imrim amen. Okay, and this gives us a little bit of clarity to what the process was. Again, albeit with various machleksin of Tanayim. Okay, again, meaning were they actually just saying at Har Eval? First of all, were they on the mountain? Right, that's what we started with. We don't know if they're on the mountain. How many brisas, right, were they entering into? Specifically, what was going on over here? Was it just the Arur? Or was it all mitzvahs? Was this a bris on all mitzvahs? But what we do see is, at least from the format, that it was a baruch and an aror, it had to be in Lashon HaKodesh, that it had to be brachos came before aruos. So it does unlock some, if you're just reading that, you'll see from the Torah, it's not clear what the process is, so it's a little bit more clear now, each according to what shita it is.